This is Tom Waddle on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast, sponsored by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, here's where we are on this Thursday. Major League Baseball's Players Union is going to have a response to that 69-page report. Is it, or was it 68? And did I just go subliminal there? Or whatever it is called.
Subliminal?
No, I don't think that's the right word. What would be the right word?
It wasn't the right word, and you didn't pronounce it correct. So you're 0 for 2, mister. You better get a shot now.
Maybe you're just thinking about the number 69, and it's buried in your subconscious, Sylvie.
Subconscious.
Freudian
slip.
That's what I was...
Yes, Freudian slip. There you go.
Well,
thank
done,
you, Tyler.
Young guy.
So, I mean, they're going to have a response to at least the health aspect. We'll see if they can hammer out this negotiation. The latest in hockey is that they're still talking about these regional areas where they're going to take 24 total teams, and then there are going to be four byes in like a play-in tournament. So like the Hawks, I believe, would play Edmonton.
How about that?
In like a play-in tournament, and the Hawks are like one of the worst team, if not the worst team, in the whole thing.
They would be the 12 seed in the Western Conference, and they would take on the 5 seed in order to make
Shock
the playoffs in a best-of-5 series.
Yes.
Shock in the world.
And then the NBA is talking about these, possibly Orlando, maybe still Vegas.
I heard today, Mark Lazare, who I believe is one of the owners of the Milwaukee Bucks, right? I saw him on CNBC, and he was talking about he thinks that NBA will come back, and he was floating the concept, or he thought it was possibly likely you'd have one in Vegas and one in Orlando, maybe even the West and the East. Location-wise.
And then did he know where they would play in NBA Finals?
That I did not. I only caught a portion of the interview, so I didn't. And I don't think that they went... Listen, they were talking more about the economy than they were about sports. But since he is a sports owner, into that arena. But it sounds like from reading as much as you read, that there is some really optimistic conversation going on about the NBA getting back to work.
All right, let's talk to one of our favorite guys. He's a leader. He's the Cubs right fielder, and he is in Arizona right now getting ready for hopefully baseball. Jason Hayward joining Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Jason, we talked to you early in this. How is everything as the days continue to go by?
Man, whew. everything is good on the home front of things, man. Family's good. Got routine at the house. You know, as you guys know or paid attention to, I'm sure Arizona itself is open back up in a lot of ways. But I mean, nothing's changing for me because it's still, you know, when it's time to get going, don't want to be infected, right? So everything is good, man, as good as can be, but it's a new situation and just kind of waiting around, seeing what's going to happen.
Jason, how anxious are you to get back to playing baseball, and B, how do you measure that against whatever fear or anxiety that you may have about the health risk that may be out there?
No, it goes without saying, man, I miss the game, miss teammates. So seeing the good weather out here in Arizona is like, come on, man. Like, this is the perfect day for baseball, right? So it's just, you know, that itch is, I mean, it goes without saying. There's new levels of missing the game of baseball. On the family side, obviously, it's awesome to be home. It's awesome to be safe and secure. But then there's also want to get back out there and be there for fans. Enjoy those moments, you know, enjoy playing on those summer holidays, you know, that we're accustomed to playing on. And it's you don't get to spend those holidays the same way everyone else does, but you get to be the entertainment and you get to be the, you know, the joy and the, you know, kind of pepping everyone's step when it talks about getting together.
Jason, from the health standpoint, where are you? Everyone's different. Where are you on the risk that you're going to take on returning? Are you concerned? Are you not that concerned? How do you feel about the risk?
I mean, I think I'm concerned. And when I say that, I mean, I feel like it's just human nature. You don't want to infect your family. You don't want to infect, you know, you worry about people that are having kids. Some just had kids. Some are going to have kids. You know, this is a situation, obviously, it goes without saying, that none of us could plan for, not just players. You know, everyone in the world, we could not plan for this. So when you talk about, you know, people that have still been working and people that have still helped the country and the world still, you know, be able to have meals and eat food, still have power, you know, the people that have still, you know, allowed us to operate and still function on a daily basis, man, you have a newfound appreciation for them. But when it does come to baseball, I think all of us understand, man, like, I mean, there's multiple times a year that we get sick and it gets spread throughout the clubhouse very easily. You know, we're all in close proximity to each other when it comes to eating in the kitchen, you know, getting ready for the game, whether it's in the hot tub, cold tub, training room, batting cage. I mean, when you're on the field, you know, there's you know, sliding and diving, there's, you know, touching the same stuff. It's just this, the nature of the game naturally brings us close to each other in ways that are, you know, people are concerned about with the virus. So on that side of things, you can't say that you don't have it in your mind. But on the other side of it is, you know, if everyone's going to be able to be tested and, you know where you're going every day, you know kind of where your network as far as teammates go. You know, we're all staying in touch now with Zoom calls and things like that. Like, if you can trust that part, then you do feel somewhat better about it and know that you're also doing a lot of people a good thing by bringing some sports back.
Jason, which of the plans or what plan would suffice for you? Would it be the plan where you basically had your hitters meeting while you were sitting in your car prior to the game, and then you showered at home? You didn't even shower at the. I mean, we've heard some crazy stuff about some of the potential plans out there.
See, I think, to answering that question, but I think the fact that what you see thrown out there kind of shows everyone that, you know, what it actually takes for a season to happen, for baseball to be normal, in a sense of, I understand it's not going to be normal. Nothing's going to be normal. There's going to be a new one. But, I mean, pitcher and catcher have to go over a game plan. You know, like you said, hitters meetings. You know, people have to show up early for, you know, training staff. You know, throughout our season, like, there's things that happen, little injuries, that people have to be around each other. So, for me, I think most importantly, all of us players would like to put a great product on the field. Like, we want to do the game, you know, we want to do the game right. And we understand that, yes, like, we're doing a lot of good for a lot of people, but in that, you don't want to go out there and get, you know, pitchers hurt. You don't want to go out there and get, you know, position players hurt and not only ruin, like, a season, but ruin careers, ruin their livelihoods as, you know, making money for their families and supporting them. But all on that, you know, that's one thing, you know, but you throw that in with, you know, the concern of getting sick and, there's a lot of things to worry about without even getting started.
Right.
Jason Hayward joining us, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Are you surprised that the plan as of now is to play in home ballparks? I know without fans, but that there will be travel and yes, it will be shorter. Like, we've heard earlier that Arizona and Florida were possibilities, and I thought that would fly easier. But which one did you like better as far as the proposals?
You know, you know, I don't believe we've been – I think those right now, I mean, to be technically speaking, I think those are still ideas in that area. Because I don't think we've been proposed as a players union or as players. I don't think we've been proposed economics on where we're going to be yet. As far as the ideals go, I see great things in all of them. Arizona, Florida, you know, there's a lot of facilities out here that they can kind of do makeshift and make them into baseball, you know, stadiums for regular seasons. But – I think there's a lot of challenges from on the field standpoint of, you know, batter's eye and things like that. But those are, you know, as far as players concerns when it comes to on the field. But off the field, you know, you think about how many guys, you know, plan to be out in Arizona, right, for spring training, and people, you know, spend money to go rent somewhere. Well, you know, how do you do that again? Do you have people rent somewhere to stay in a house again? Do you have people put them up in hotels? And then how do you control the hotels in bulk? And then I guess the hotel concern kind of leads me into the next thing when you talk about, you know, even if we haven't done our home ballparks and say we do the NLAL Central, well, we're still hopping on a flight. We're still going to hotels. And I just think there's a lot of question marks But at the same time, I mean, I believe that all of us understand that if we're to have a season, that we know nothing is going to be 100% guaranteed. And I just think that we all have to understand and appreciate that about each other, and hope that our families and, you know, friends and fans understand and appreciate that as well from us.
It sounds, Jason, like there's a double-edged sword here, that, like, as you're playing it out and I'm listening to you speak, that on one hand you're really optimistic, and on the other hand you're like, wow, there's a lot of hoops to jump through.
Yeah, I definitely think that's the reality of it for us. But I think, you know, in everyday life, we all go through challenges. We all go through things that, you know, are going to scare us at times. When something like this happens, it changes the freaking world. You know, there's definitely a lot of new. But at the same time, this is the profession we chose, right? We signed up for this. No, we didn't sign up for the new normal that's going to happen, but no one else did either. And I think we're going to have to at some point come to terms with some new challenges along the way. I just think the biggest thing is that we don't really know what that looks like right now, that no one's done this, and that it's happened, you know, this is happening so soon. And I don't even want to say so soon, because we can't say it's concluded. It's not fair to say that. I think it's, while it's happening during this pandemic, I think it's just tough to see. So we'll see what happens in time.
Jason, how about the financial conversation? When you hear the owners collectively complain that, well, we need to renegotiate whatever agreement we had a few months or a few weeks ago differently now because there won't be fans in the stands, and the fans comprise 30 or 35% of the revenue comes from going to the ballpark. When you hear them talk about that, what do you respond with as a player?
Well, I just think that, you know, for one, I'm going to try as much as I can to stay surface level with it. But at the end of the day, you know, we agreed to what we agreed to back in March, you know, based on the terms that were there. And in our mind, after that, as players, it was like, okay, it shifted from, all right, that's out of the way, to now how are we going to be healthy and safe? And I think that's still at the forefront of our minds. You know, the owners are obviously allowed to say whatever they're going to say, and, you know, they can leak out whatever concerns they have and voice, you know, their concerns for themselves. And that's a part of running a business. You know, it is what it is. I think we all understand that and what it's like to be in, you know, corporate America. But on the player end, again, man, I think it's really just, we want to focus on what it's going to be like to be healthy and play this game. What is it going to be like to make sure we can obviously stay healthy, but still at the same time, you know, make sure we can get in a hot tub, cold tub, make sure we can, you know, do whatever it is we need to do to take care of our bodies and minds to go play this game the best way we know how.
From a scale of zero to Blake Snell, how passionate are you on standing pat with the finances, Jason?
Well, see, for me, man, like, speaking to that, I just think that, you know, going through this time, I feel like a lot of us, you know, just as human beings, have to realize that, you know, we're all going through something different here. You know, there's some people that have spent this time, you know, alone more than others. There's people that are used to being able to live their lives and get out of the house and move freely. And I'm not talking about just athletes. I'm talking about everyone. You know, so I feel like people are going through some anxieties. People are going through more stresses right now. People are going to be afraid. You know, I have a couple teammates, John Lester and Anthony Rizzo, that have, you know, have fought and beat cancer and still, you know, still moved on with their careers and lives, but they know they're at a risk. So I'm going to take everything there from, you know, from Blake Snell's to whoever, you know, whoever it is out there in the world, whether it's an athlete or not. I take their concerns with a grain of salt, meaning that, man, that's the human nature for me. So as far as the financial stuff goes, again, like, I know what we agreed to back in March, and right now my concern is health and how we can get back to, you know, playing this game and what that looks like for all of us. But no, I'm obviously not at the forefront. I'm not in control of that. And I think right now, as the players union and players, we're just waiting to see what happens and see what the next step is. It's not really in our court.
How confident are you, Jason, that actually there will be baseball played? Are you very confident that there will be some plan that is put together that will get you guys back out onto a field?
You know what? I don't know, because I just don't know what this looks like. I feel like that's the toughest part of this. I know what one thing I am confident about is that I'll be ready. You know, I haven't, you know, slacked off from working out, anything like that. I've done a good job of making the most of my time. You know, speaking with some teammates, I know, you know, they've done a good job of it as well. But I just think it's just hard to know how confident we're into this right now because we don't really have control. You know, we're the players here. You know, we show up and we go to work and we do what we're told, so to speak. You know, but owners, I get it. Like, they have a side of where they have to run a business and they have to be efficient and worry about funds. Well, you know, there's a virus that's speaking to all of us as well that has us in this position. So it's hard to speak on confidence right now when you don't feel like you have too much control of the situation.
Right. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Do you buy, like you were saying, Jason, that look, so many people are going through so many different things in this world. Do you feel that the players should watch what they say because they could always be painted as the quote greedy players?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. But that being said, I feel like that's always the nature of our business. You know, that's the nature of being, you know, people and athletes and entertainers that are paid more than the next, you know, group of people. And you know, more people are going to observe what we say. You know, what we do is highlighted more. And, yeah, there's going to be more people that have opinions. And I think you got to be careful with how you present it, the impressions you make. But no, again, like, I can't speak for anyone. I can't, you know, make an excuse for anyone. But I do know just from, you know, going through this stuff, you know, together as a human race and, you know, hearing from friends, hearing from family, that it's not an easy time for anyone, regardless of how much money you make. You know, you're just, you know, you're in a different mindset when you feel like you're trapped in a house and you're trapped away from people. And that's not normal. You know, your mind is not, you know, programmed to go that way. And I think some people are making some stressful decisions, regardless of if they're speaking out or if they're going to do things. I feel like you got to give them a little pass on that one.
Jason Hayward joining us, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. On the Cubs front of this, Jason, how much better are you guys as a team with a designated hitter?
I feel like coming back from 3-1 in a World Series with not having home field advantage speaks volumes to how much better we can be with a designated hitter. You know, just as far as having more opportunity to get another at bat, right? Not having to have your pitcher come up, it gives the manager more freedom as far as setting a lineup and give them an extra at bat, extra hitter to maybe be able to put in there on defense or maybe to be able to put in there against a pitcher if opposing team makes a move with a bullpen and you want to burn a player, you have that extra player to do so without having to, you know, do a double switch, without having to make extra moves throughout the game.
Last time we talked to you, Jason, I think we discussed binging television. Do you mm-hmm. have a new program that you're binging at this time?
I think we kind of backed off from TV a little bit, and not that we don't watch it. It's kind of cool to find like Impractical Jokers on TV every now and then. You know, just some different stuff. Don't mix it in, but there's a new show on. I mean, I should get a plug for this one right here. But there's a new show on Apple TV Plus called Defending Jacob.
Yes,
and it's a pretty good one with Captain America. I mean, I feel like Apple TV Plus right now, man. They've been dropping some cool stuff. It's like, you know, it's not too intense, but it's like, you know, it's stuff that just grabs you easily and makes you want to keep watching.
Yeah.
What about The Last Dance? Did you watch it and did you enjoy it?
No, I definitely watched it. It was, to me, it was beautiful. Enjoyed watching it, enjoyed discussing it with teammates. We had a lot of fun doing that. Obviously being a team in Chicago as well, kind of being able to relate to some history, but also just the culture. And then I think it just kind of shows people that even back then, you know, without social media, times were kind of crazy for athletes. And, you know, you're made a spectacle still back then. But I think even more today, like, I think some of these guys that we see in the media coming out after it, you see Horace Grant talk about it. You hear reports of Scottie Pippen, you know, feeling some kind of way, you know, about The Last Dance. I think it just showed you how half-assed things can, you know, kind of be spread, like how you're made to look nowadays. Like, these guys were doing that back then, not realizing one day a bunch of people are going to see this and they're going to look back on it and judge us. Well, now here it is, and it's kind of reliving it for them in a different light.
You're a leader. Did Michael's way of leading surprise you?
I got to say, undefeated in the finals, six championships, two repeats. I don't think it surprised me too much just from knowing what it takes to go win, knowing how, especially after winning one time, you know, how many things are going to become a new problem, a new challenge. And the fact that they did that over and over again twice, it just shows you what it takes to get winning done. It shows you, you know, how hard it is and why it's hard. It's not just hard because the competition is great, but it's also hard when you have things creep in, like the business side, when you have injuries, when you have different egos, when you have different personalities. I think all in all, like, he did what he had to do. But I think a big lesson from that is that people should realize maybe this isn't for you. Like you said, you know, if you want to be great, you want to be a winner. Well, this is what it takes right here.
That's awesome to hear that. Yep. Jason, always enjoy catching up. Thank you. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, Jason.
Absolutely, guys. I hopefully see you soon, sometime soon, playing some baseball somewhere.
Yeah,
but stay safe.
Great.
Take it easy.
You stay safe. There's Jason Hayward. Jason. Great stuff. Yeah. All right, we've got Waddle's World coming up at 3:30. We'll react to that interview coming up next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
This portion of Waddle and Sylvie brought to you by Manscaped. Lawnmower 3.0 is the perfect tool for safe and satisfying Manscaped jobs.
I saw Mason actually called you Mr. Manscaped.
Yes, he kept forgetting. Do you see him motioning to his ear? That he wanted me to whisper it into his ear. I go, you got to call Daddy Mr. Manscaped. And then every time we would do
it's kind of weird, but I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah. 20% off and free shipping with the discount code Chicago. That's manscaped.com. What'd you think of Jason Hayward? I think he's savvy enough to know not to go over the top of the financial aspect.
I love the conversations, and I think he's too sophisticated to go Blake Snell on you.
Yes.
He just is. I mean, like, right or wrong, I think he's going to play it with more tact because he is a veteran. I think he is. I get the impression, though, he is fighting with the dilemma that is, God, I want to go play baseball because this is what I love to do. But my goodness, I also have a family, and I'm apprehensive about whatever risk may be out there. And, you know, that's the balance. So,
and then you can't lose that PR campaign either. Like, if the union is smart, they continue to hammer that point home that they're the ones taking on that risk.
Yeah.
They're the ones, like, before a lot of America goes back, they're being asked to go back. They're being asked to take the risk of spreading it amongst their family. You know what I mean? Like, if you're crying about millions, you don't come across looking good in a PR battle any way you slice it just because of what is going on in the country. But if you do go and do something that is health that we're all dealing with, now all of a sudden that's an equalizer.
Yeah. Look, they have a tremendous benefit over the majority of the population, that they have earned a ton of money that provides them some security and probably some breathing room that the average American doesn't have. That's life. That's reality. I don't hold that against Jason Hayward or other players. I wish I could hit a fastball or a curveball the way that they all did. That's just life. I try to at times think about things as 23-year-old me, not 53-year-old me, because 53-year-old me is an entirely different person than 23-year-old me. So if I try to project how I would feel, and it's really hard to do because I'm a different person now than I was there, and I'm not even saying this compared to what Jason Hayward had to say with us, I project that at the age of 23 or 25, I would be itching to get back to work. And I would probably at that time, because you think you're 10 foot tall and bulletproof, I would have weighed the risk and reward, and I would have wanted to go back to work, follow all of the instructions that were going to be given to us to stay as clean and as healthy as possible. But I don't think there's any doubt that my preference would have been to go back to work and take the risk, whatever the risk would be.
Really? So you would be like, just get me the football. Just let me make the Bears.
Listen, I could sit here and doll it up for you and talk to you in really emotional ways. Or I could tell you, look, at the age of 23, I wanted to play ball. And you wouldn't have scared me with something, even though that it is real. I'm not suggesting it's not. 23-year-old me would have been out there wanting to play, and I would have taken the risk, and I would have done the risk-reward analysis, and I would have said, let's go. Let's go to practice.
I also loved what Hayward said about the Jordan stuff. Like, there's a guy who's inside the clubhouse and understands that, and I'm not saying that he's Michael. He is a leader, though, and that he knows that a sacrifice has to be made, and like he totally agreed with everything Michael said, that if you do something else, if you can't do this.
Yeah. All leaders don't come in the same shape and size, though.
Sure,
I mean, leadership comes in a lot of different ways. Is Michael the greatest leader of all time? I don't necessarily say that that's the case. Other people can have maybe not a six championship type success, but can win championships leading in a different way. So,
have you ever seen the old quote from Robert Parrish? I'm looking to call that up right now.
I did see that when he talked about his exchange with Michael.
Yes, yes.
Didn't even recall that Robert Parrish was on the Bulls, to be honest with you.
He was. Remember, they would always get that, like, one aged center. Like, whether it was Buddha Edwards in one of the years, it was Robert Parrish another year, and then Joe Klein was the guy.
Right.
I found it, Sylvie.
Yeah, read that.
So this was going around Twitter the other day. Parrish left the Celtics in 94 for Charlotte, where he played blah, 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 blah. There he regained an appreciation for Bird's leadership style. What set Larry apart from Magic and Jordan was he wasn't an in-your-face leader like they were, Parrish said. He had too much respect for us. If you weren't having a good night, he was more inclined to encourage you or not say anything at all. But Magic and Jordan would jump all over you. In one of his first practices with the Bulls, Parrish botched one of the plays and was amused to find Jordan jawing at him just inches from his face. I told him, I'm not as enamored with you as these other guys. I've got some rings too, Parrish recalled. At that point, he told me, I'm going to go kick your ass. I took one step closer and said, no, you really aren't. After that, he didn't bother me again.
Don't mess
with the
chief.
That's right. You got to stand up to the bully.
Don't mess with the chief.
No, you don't. Hey, remember, Michael used to call him Robert Chief.
Yeah.
That's what he used to call him all the time. Never just Robert or never Parrish. It was Robert Chief. All right, so we've got Waddle's World coming up next. We're also going to talk to somebody who was with Dennis Rodman through some of the strangest days, and he worked with the Bulls. He'll join us coming up at 4.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Amazing.
What's going on in the world of sports?
Look at all the sports picks. Aerobics in there. So many activities.
Let's find out together.
Step class. It's making my head spin. How many activities we can do.
As we enter.
This is how we do it.
Waddle's World.
Da, 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 da. Oh, Mellor's hitting all the right notes.
Yeah, that is fantastic, isn't it?
Boy, the 90, I want to say like the 97 Cubs would play this song after every win in the clubhouse. And if you remember, that was a crappy baseball team. They started, I think, the year like 0-13, and that was the year that Cap lived in the van. So it was like you were celebrating on the way to winning 66 games.
Was I working with Cap at that time as well?
I believe you were, yes.
He was in the van. I was at the station. He was on the Tom Snyder, I think, show.
You need to explain to younger folks what the van, living in the van, means.
By the way, the music was Montel Jordan, correct?
Am I correct about that?
Yeah. This is how we do it. Like a Gracie would be appreciating a beer and a cigarette. And he'd have the media gathered around as Mark Grace went 3-for-4 and the Cubs just improved to 4-22.
Caps, this is how we do it. Cap's living in a van until the Cubs win.
Cap was brilliant with this sort of stuff. You know him. That as soon as the Cubs, when we all worked at GN and they had the Cubs, we were all together and it was the 97 season, the Tyler Houston Cubs, as I like to refer to them.
Oh, boy.
And
they
like start 0-3, 0-4. And then Cap says, look, here's what I'm going to do. This can't go on forever. I'm going to live in the WGN radio van outside of Wrigley Field and sleep and eat in there and then go to work at Wrigley.
Yeah, not really living fully in there because there was a McDonald's next door where he would eat and use the restroom.
He also cheated by going to the Skybox on Sheffield, and he would shower in there.
Yeah.
Because Dave Abrams, our buddy, used to run Skybox on Sheffield, and so...
So
Cap
really, what
shower.
What yeah. kind of what kind of sacrifice was it?
He wasn't. He was building publicity for himself, and so like, and of course, 0-4 turned into 0-8, 0-8 turned into 0-12, and then the next thing you know, like people are like, "Who's this goofball living in a van outside of Wrigley Field until the Cubs win?" And he got all this national pub.
Yeah, he was on the Tom Snyder Show late night. Where was it? The Tonight Show with Tom, whatever it was.
Yeah,
was
Tom Snyder. Yeah. Uh-huh.
By the way, Waddle's World is brought to you by Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/find us. Member FDIC. I just had one of those WTF moments.
Yeah.
Do those happen to you
sure,
occasionally?
Sure, but give me an example of what you mean by WTF.
Okay, so at the break, Meller sent an email to me of the ESPN hot list where the top sports stories are. And I just had one of those moments where I had to think, instead of, you take the internet and technological advancements for granted, you don't kind of think hard about them, you just accept them and you're like, okay, cool. Hey, send me an email with all that stuff on it. And as I was printing it, I said to myself, how in the world does Meller, 32 miles away from me, send something through the air that gets to a small device that I hold in my hand and I open it up and then I can send a message from my handheld device to my printer at my house, and then what Meller had is sitting on the piece of paper in front of me.
It's amazing, right? You've got one of those WTF, I can't believe how easy technology is moments.
Yeah. Yes, that's what it was.
The deep thought moment. Deep thought.
Like you say, like every now and again, for the most part, I ignore all that stuff so that I don't get freaked out and have an anxiety attack. But every now and again, it like smacks you in the face and you have to acknowledge what the F just happened.
Well, if you think about the airplane, too, I think the airplane, if you really start deep thinking about it on how that works, it's pretty amazing.
Yes. Did you see the story? I'm trying to pull this up right now as well. I'll get to sports here in a second. But did you see the story about the alternate universe that they think they found,
that
where time goes backwards?
I didn't understand anything about this, but I read it. Just like explain that.
NASA's parallel universe, backwards time. If I start to try to even explain it, I won't be able to do it, and I'll freak myself out, and I'll probably end up puking in my garbage can here next to me. Meller, you're smart. Tyler's really young, so he probably knows all this.
But he's pretty smart. Tyler is pretty smart.
Of course he is. Not only is he smart, he's young, so he probably has a better handle on this. Do you know this story, Tyler?
No, I'm looking it up right now. I'm trying to get a grasp of it. I'll report back.
So it was a study in Alaska, right, Waddle? Isn't that where the study with a balloon took place?
Yes, that's correct.
And so they discovered like some sort of these particles.
Here's the headline. NASA scientists detect evidence of parallel universe where time runs backward. Get out of here! Get off of my computer screen.
So there's a parallel universe where instead of going from like zero to infinity, whatever, they're going backwards, but they think they're going forwards and we're going backwards.
Benjamin Button's. It is Benjamin Button's real life, right?
Here's my question, though. Are we in the parallel universe, too?
I'm going to puke.
Who are the participants in there? Are we in there as well in an alternate universe?
Okay, hold on to yourself for this, okay? Low-energy subatomic neutrinos with a mass close to zero can pass completely through Earth, but high-energy objects are stopped by the solid matter of our planet, according to the report. That means the high-energy particles can only be detected coming down from space, but the team's ANITA detected heavier particles, so-called tau neutrinos, which come up out of the Earth. The finding implies that these particles are actually traveling backward in time, suggesting evidence of a parallel universe, according to the Daily Star.
I don't know what any of that means. Yeah.
There's the door. Get out.
Would you want there to be a parallel universe? Wouldn't
no.
you want that? Why?
No. I don't know why. I just don't want it. Like when I was a kid, you know what? I saw green beans. Eventually, as I got older, I loved green beans. When I looked at them as a kid, I didn't want them. Get out.
That's
how I feel about
why
the
do I
universe.
Feel like we would want a parallel universe?
In the parallel universe, Ryan Pace selects Patrick Mahomes.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying.
But
we're going backwards.
The Trailblazers select Sam. They select Michael Jordan.
That's a good would you rather.
I cannot. You know what? Shame on me. I'm better at poop stories than I am at this. So anyway, let's get to some sports-a-roo. NFL rule proposals include adding a booth umpire tech advisor for the refs as well. The NFL making plans to experiment in the 2020 preseason with new officiating positions that would be similar to a sky judge. The experiment would include creating a booth umpire and a senior technology advisor who would each have access to video and the ability to either make officiating calls or communicate to the referee based on what they see.
So this isn't a sky judge. It's like a sky judge.
Yeah. Why can't this is the NFL's Achilles heel? Instead of sky judge, we have like a sky judge. Just do sky judge.
It's kind of like how a catch was. It was like a catch.
Yeah. I mean, they do. It's like everything they do is in this manner. It's like sky judge or like a sky judge.
Yeah.
So stupid. ESPN is to air a 9-part Tom Brady series in 2021. It's going to be titled "The Man in the Arena, Tom Brady."
I'm here for that. I just like people who are bitching about Michael Jordan getting too much. I want to hear the world according to Tom Brady.
Oh,
his career according to Tom Brady.
You'll be out there selling and defending avocado ice cream the moment that this series comes out.
Maybe not quite. Remember, I used to be a Manning guy, but I like to hear the stars. I would want LeBron to do the same thing. Do you think I need
more? You know LeBron's going to. He's got his own production company.
Now, do you think that anyone, when LeBron does his, will be wanting more Tristan Thompson? Oh, my gosh. Tristan Thompson didn't get to do a deep dive on his career and talk about Khloe Kardashian. Like, no, nobody wants more Tristan Thompson. Give us more LeBron James.
Who was the irritating little guard from Australia?
Dellavedova.
Yeah, more Dellavedova.
Well, no. We're going to be saying more Delonte West.
That's true. Okay, how much will they explore the Delonte West story? They did explore what happened with Michael's dad and with the gambling. Will the LeBron James story include Delonte West?
Did you see? I saw some stuff about Delonte West about a month ago.
Yeah.
I think that he was homeless living on the street.
I think that's older. I think it's like, isn't it more like 6 months ago?
It was a tough read.
It's like that one and then the Joe Murphy story. Do you remember the Joe Murphy story? Joe Murphy, really good hockey player.
Yeah.
He played with many teams, including the Blackhawks. They did a special on him. Do you remember that he's homeless?
Yeah, I did
in
not
Canada.
See that, yeah,
and he looks nothing like how he used to look.
Well, here's hopefully a story that is the antithesis of all that, and that hopefully will be the Alden Smith story. He's grateful for his chance with the Cowboys. I believe the league has reinstated him. He's looking to get back on the field after being conditionally reinstated yesterday. Smith has been suspended since 2015. And if you go back and look at his stats back in when he was playing before he found trouble, he was as good a pass rusher as there was in the league. So if you're expecting him to light it up with the Cowboys, I think that you're setting the bar exceptionally high. I think this is one of those stories where anything you get from him is gravy, and you just hope that he keeps his life pointed in the right direction.
Yeah, I'm skeptical, though.
Power Five schools would lose $4 billion if no football season takes place.
$4 billion.
Athletic departments are cutting programs, sports programs, right and left in the United States at this point. Power Five schools stand to lose $4 billion if the 2020 football season is canceled. Put that in your pipe and light it. I'm just telling you.
Look, in your alternate universe.
Follow the green. I mean, it's unbelievable. They're going to do everything they can to make this all happen. The ACC is allowing schools to decide their return dates. Sounds like they're just, hey, you guys
want
to go back and practice here?
Here's your
football, go do it. All right, when we come back, I got some nonsense for you, okay?
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
All right, I think it's time for Tyler to step in and debunk some of the space story that I was just reading. Tyler, you've done some research, right?
Yeah, so it looks like this parallel universe, we don't have to worry about it yet because it's all been debunked. Basically, these particles are no threat to us, and they actually pass through most solid objects without anyone even noticing. In fact, you might have 100 trillion of them go through your body every second. And even though it's plausible that there still may be a parallel universe out there, there's nothing that necessarily makes the detection of these particles a sign of a parallel universe.
So is this a hoax? Was this just a big hoax?
It's not a hoax necessarily. It's just saying that this isn't necessarily
This isn't the proof.
Right, yeah. This isn't the evidence to prove that there is a parallel universe.
I think there is a parallel universe. I just don't know where it is.
So I have pulled the question, Waddle, the Toyota, Chicagoland Toyota Twitter poll.
Yeah.
And is alternate universe and parallel universe, are those synonyms for each other?
I don't know.
Because now I know.
I would guess so.
So I said, would you be happy if there was an alternate universe?
What would be the benefit?
Well, that there are many different ways to live. Yeah, like, you know, that maybe we never die and we just go into an alternate universe. I don't know.
You don't think they have coronavirus on the other universe, do you?
No. But they're bad stuff that probably happens in the alternate universe.
Well, that's something that they've been talking about with, at least with the hoax stuff, is that, oh, they're all moving back to 2019, so they no longer have the coronavirus
to deal with.
All right, my head just exploded.
But do we know that we're at the exact same time? I mean, they could be in a different year.
That is also true.
I mean, so it says, would you be happy? And 65.7% saying yes.
65. I'm with, they're high. They're sitting
well,
at
I'm
home.
With them, too, but I don't know why I'm with them. I vote yes, that I would be happy.
I don't know, nor do I care.
What do we get out of the other
right,
universe
that's my
happening?
Point.
Like, we're in this universe, right?
What's there to lose?
Feels like they're a threat, though, almost.
Right? Like, yes.
You don't know what's in that universe.
Like, they infected us with some type of virus.
Boom. There you go, Sylvie. How about that? Mm. How about that? Take that. Alternate universe Cap came in and said, take that.
No, he said, that take.
That don't stop. A mayor lies in a coffin and pretends to be dead, a dead coronavirus victim to avoid arrest after breaking curfew rules to go out drinking. Jaime Torres, the mayor of a small town in Peru, lay in a coffin and pretended to be dead, a dead coronavirus patient to avoid being arrested. He was caught by police violating coronavirus lockdown rules while drinking with his friends. When officers came to arrest him in the town of Tantatara, in the south of the country, he lay down in an open casket and played dead.
Wow.
How about that? All right, here's a story I advertised on Twitter. Is it Lori Loughlin or Lachlan?
I've always called her Lori Loughlin.
Yes, okay. That's right.
You can call her Aunt Becky.
Aunt Becky, yes.
Right. And her husband, Massimo Giannulli, agreed to a plea deal in the college admissions scam. Well, actually, they agreed to plead guilty, rather. I'm sorry. So Aunt Becky and her husband have agreed to plead guilty to conspiracy charges in connection to their role in the college admissions scam. Did you know Aunt Becky was 55?
Yes. I mean, it makes sense. I mean,
yeah, how old did you think she was?
If you think about it.
I didn't know. I thought she was probably late 40s. I don't know.
It's a long time ago.
Her and her husband, Massimo, had been accused of paying $500,000 to get their two daughters into the University of Southern California as fake crew team recruits. All right, they had pleaded not guilty for more than a year and moved to dismiss the charges. They decided to change their plea. She will be sentenced to 2 months in prison, and Giannulli will be sentenced to 5 months in prison, subject to the court's approval, according to the authorities. In addition, Aunt Becky faces a $150,000 fine, 2 years of supervised release, and 100 hours of community service. And her husband faces a $250,000 fine, 2 years of supervised release, and 250 hours of community service.
Based on Full House and Aunt Becky, we're going to do our final four of guilty pleasure television shows.
Well, you're going to have to define guilty pleasure for me.
I know, because you had a tough time when we did guilty pleasure movies.
I know.
So we're going to do guilty pleasure TV shows, and we'll explain that to Waddle later.
Yeah, that's cool. I got a different Jeep story, but this one is not the top off naked Jeep.
Go
story.
Topless Jeep Weekend.
Sorry about that. What is it again?
When you start.
Go Topless Jeep Weekend.
what if I need a place to lay down if I break a crime or I break a law and I commit a crime?
We've got a jail that's got a whole lot of empty holes.
Okay. If I'm looking for fun, like I'm looking for beach fun, I'm looking for some drinks and other stuff, is there a combo that you could advertise?
Wash them hands for 20 seconds.
I didn't
and
ask
keep
for...
them clean with yeah. the Germex. Totally.
I wanted to know.
She wasn't paying attention.
She wasn't. She never is. What is your motto down that? There's a motto about.
It's better than beach and a few drinks and Jeeps. Maybe
there you
any
go.
Better than that.
No, it doesn't. Speaking of that, homeowner escapes injury when a Jeep lands in a Danvers, Mass living room.
Totally.
Jeep ended up parked in the living room of a Danvers condo Wednesday after it crashed through the home's wall. I didn't get hurt, so that's the best I can say now, said the condo owner. Crash happened. Just the guy was sitting at his desk in his living room. All of a sudden, a Jeep comes flying through.
Then I'm all gravy, baby.
Yeah, I know
nah,
that.
Not
Texas,
really.
Texas mom delivers rare identical quadruplets, a 1 in 11 million miracle.
Wow. Quadruplets. Can you imagine taking care of four?
Identical quadruplets. So they all look exactly the same. My guess is that when you have quadruplets, they're not all identical.
Right.
Because
well,
this says that's one
in 11
million. 11
million
miracle. Huh? What
Wash
would you say?
Wash them hands for 20 seconds.
Sylvie, how would you like to, like, you've got,
no.
you got Mason,
no.
you
no.
got Braxton, and then you got Stevie, and you got Darren in the house. They're all like, you've got five,
four,
six,
yeah, I mean, that's
four
why
five, it's... six, seven.
That's why I would never want to. First of all, I don't want to go for a third. But say I did with people who I know, and especially with what's in the water at ESPN 1000 with Merkin and Zetterman, and who else is you, Mel? Are you,
that would be
me.
Twins.
Twins. Yeah. Yeah. I would not want to go for a third and then end up with you know a third and a fourth. That's scary here. So I'm done. 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 Done.
Yeah. You sure?
Done.
All right. I mean, I am done, too. That's all I have for you. I'm done. Done,
okay.
done, done.
You're done with Waddle's
I'm
World.
Done.
Okay. So who was the guy who was tasked with going to Dennis Rodman's house when he was late for practice, and then he would knock on the door, and boom, there would be Carmen Electra and Dennis Rodman naked in the middle of the floor on a mattress? We'll talk to that man coming up in 2 minutes.
Oh.